On Tech News Today, Microsoft tried to keep its mobile patents secret, but China reveals them all. Plus, the federal government wants to regulate your map apps. Where were they when Apple Maps first shipped? And Starbucks wants to send their baristas to college. All that and more coming up right now.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Tech News Today for Monday, June 16th, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free two-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin. Jason Howell is off this week, and Anthony Nielsen is filling in for Jason. Tech News Today explores the big stories of the day with some of the world's best journalists. My co-anchor today is my invisible friend. No, actually, I don't have a co-anchor today. We had a co-anchor who dropped out at the last minute, so I'm flying solo today. So let's just jump right into the news. Microsoft claims that most Android phones infringe on multiple patents, but has never revealed what those patents are. Microsoft could make as much as $1 billion a year on Android-related patents and wants to keep them secret, but the Chinese government revealed a list of more than 300 Microsoft patents and applications, and these are for mobile phone technologies, including 127 patents that Microsoft says are implemented on Android. In other words, that Microsoft claims that Android infringes upon. Joe Mullen is the tech policy editor at Ars Technica and joins us now to talk about this story. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Now, why had Microsoft kept these patents a secret?
Well, there's a big advantage to not revealing exactly what patents you may need to ultimately use in a lawsuit. So strategically, Microsoft is trying to collect royalty payments on essentially every Android device in the world. And they're well on their way towards accomplishing that goal. So if they get into a legal negotiation, it's best for them to maybe show some patents or maybe even no patents and say, well, believe us, we have hundreds of patents that read on Android. And if you kind of want to confront us in the courtroom, you'll find out what those are then. Not sort of give someone a big list and then that gives their lawyers time to strategize or more space to disagree. Basically, it's just a good legal strategy to not sort of, if you have 300 cards, to not show any more than you need to until you actually go to court.
Now, of course, this seems to be similar to the Apple strategy. These infringing technologies are in Android, as I understand it, and yet Microsoft tends to extract licensing fees from the hardware makers. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's correct. That's right. Microsoft has never sued Google directly, even though Google is, you know, the maker of Android, of course.
Right.
And we should say allegedly infringing. I mean, it's a matter of until there's an actual adjudication, Microsoft would be making an allegation of infringement. And what we're seeing with these lists is I don't even think this could quite be called an allegation of infringement. These are patents they say are implemented in Android. So it's kind of when they need to construct an infringement accusation, this is sort of the ammunition pile they would use.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of the hardware makers are paying Microsoft. So that's definitely not an infringement when they're paying for these technologies. And like you said, this hasn't been proved or required by any sort of court. This is essentially Microsoft approaching these companies, most of which it already has a relationship with at some level, because Microsoft, of course, makes, you know, Windows, and these some of these same companies make hardware for Windows and other devices. And so, you know, these companies kind of agree after these negotiations to pay a licensing fee rather than go to court. It seems to me that they have a little bit of an advantage in the negotiations, though, because Microsoft didn't want to reveal these patents. Now that they're out in the open, I would guess that Microsoft would have more sort of leeway to negotiate with these companies because now they don't mind going to court to fight these things if people refuse to pay the licensing fees. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know how much it would actually change the playing field if a company chose to confront Microsoft. I mean, the truth is most of the companies have chosen to ultimately pay rather than have a very bruising court battle. The company that's resisted the most is Motorola, which is, you know, until pretty recently. It was owned by Google, I think still is. I don't think they're done with that transaction yet. But certainly, if you're at this point, now that this list is out there, if you are looking at a negotiation or a renegotiation with Microsoft, I mean, Microsoft can be sure that lawyers on the other side are going to want to take a look at this. So it will be very advantageous to the other side because they could think, well, if Microsoft does go to court against us, we can expect it'll be something in this group. So they could be a little more prepared to defend themselves if they chose to. But that doesn't change the basic math of the equation, which is that it costs millions of dollars to defend a patent case, even through trial, even if you win. So for a defendant in the patent case, you know, the best case scenario is you lose, you know, $3 or $4 million in legal expenses, and then that's it. You won.
And of course, the nature of these patents has been a little bit of a mystery to users and to companies within the industry for a long time. So what are the nature of some, you know, what are these patents around? Are they around, you know, surfing the web? Are they around wireless technologies? And where do they come from? Are they developed by Microsoft? Or are they part of acquisitions?
Yeah, it's an interesting mix. I haven't done searches on every one of the 310 patents, but I did run through quite a few of them. And, you know, some of these are, first of all, that 310 number, some of those are issued patents and some of those are applications, but they come from different areas. Most of them originated at Microsoft Research Labs. And then there's a significant group, especially in the group that are just said to relate to smartphones generally, the standards essential patents, that came from Nortel. That was the big purchase. The Nortel patents were purchased for $4.5 billion out of bankruptcy by a consortium of companies that included Apple and Microsoft, as well as Ericsson, Sony, BlackBerry. So some of those patents were handed off to a licensing entity, the Rockstar Consortium, which actually did sue Google. And then some of them we know have gone to the companies that were part of Rockstar, like Microsoft. So it's interesting to see there are a bunch of Nortel patents in here related to things like just network management and how to manage a wireless network, essentially. Then there's other patents that are in areas where Microsoft has had traditionally pretty strong research, like video search and things like that. There are also patents connected to, you know, specific identifiable Microsoft technologies like the XFAT file arrangement system and one other, an Exchange Active Sync. That's another one. There's a group of patents directed to that.
Now, Google is a company that's throwing around billions of dollars on airplanes and balloons and robots and all kinds of crazy stuff. Why don't they spend money to develop parallel technologies that they can patent so that their partners don't have to pay Microsoft this licensing fee?
Well, they have. Google has plenty of patents, and they have shared patents. They've done exactly what you suggested. They've shared patents with partners who have been confronted in patent infringement lawsuits. I know that they shared patents, for example, with HTC. So Google is supportive of its hardware partners who make Android phones. But at the end of the day, if Microsoft chooses to assert patents against those partners or to sue those partners, you know, there's a limit to how much support Google can offer. Again, it kind of doesn't change the basic math of these situations, which is that a patent lawsuit of any kind is hard to deal with and expensive. And a patent lawsuit brought by Microsoft with its, hundreds of lawyers on its legal team and a great deal of resources could be a very bruising scenario for any tech company.
The Chinese government lately has been sort of on the warpath against American technology companies. Is this revelation of its list of patents sort of a slam against Microsoft, or is this just how they do their process of regulating mergers and acquisitions and other types of regulation?
Yeah, that's not clear to me, actually, from reporting on this story. I linked to the Chinese language website on their ministry, from their Ministry of Commerce where these lists are hosted, but I didn't do a full official translation of that page. Mm-hmm. I got a hold of a sort of partial unofficial translation. So I can only kind of speak generally to the context that these patents were presented in. And I'm certainly not a Chinese language speaker myself. So this was done as part of an antitrust review. China wanted Microsoft to kind of agree to a variety of conditions before it could move ahead with its Nokia purchase. And Chinese regulators were clearly concerned with Microsoft sort of dominating parts of the market and maybe making moves that could really raise prices in certain areas. You know, Android is popular throughout the world, and it's really popular in China. They're generally were concerned with sort of anti-monopoly and antitrust laws and making sure Microsoft didn't totally dominate the market. And they wanted the patents to be disclosed apparently as part of that. It's hard to imagine Microsoft would have, you know, wanted this list to be published. Sure. Microsoft did publish a blog post when the review was complete, saying that the Chinese government acknowledged, you know, sort of confirmed that hundreds of patents were being used in Android. But that's a very odd wording. I mean, no one could have created this list but Microsoft. So it seems like what happened is the Chinese government really wanted to know sort of what they had on Android. Microsoft showed it to them, and the Chinese government published it.
Yeah, you made that point, and it was an interesting one in your article, that Microsoft seemed to be weasel wording their language to imply that the Chinese government confirmed their claim of infringement, when in fact, that's, as you point out, that's almost certainly not what happened with the revelation of these patents. So that was a really interesting point, and I think that Microsoft might want to reword that. Now, somebody in the chat room whose name, probably not their birth name, is Web8960, I'm guessing that's a pseudonym, said that, you know, why can't Google just countersue and get this over with? I mean, Google, I think, would love to go to court over all these patents with Microsoft, settle it once and for all, whatever the arrangement is, and then just move on so that their partners aren't being nickeled and dimed to death by Microsoft. Is that a possibility? Do you have any idea whether that's even something that's possible within the U.S. legal system?
Yeah, I mean, that is, in a way, that is essentially what has happened. I mean, for their own business reasons, the Android partners like, you know, Samsung, HTC, other companies have agreed to strike deals with Microsoft. It's just not worth their time to have this bruising legal fight for whatever reason. But A, if they did choose to have that fight, Google would support them, wouldn't cover their legal expenses, but would offer them some types of support. And B, the one company that Google had control over, Motorola, has not given in to Microsoft and continues to aggressively fight against Microsoft and has countersued Microsoft, you know, in both, you know, federal district courts and the International Trade Commission, which is another arena for patent battles. So to the extent that Google can, they have done exactly what the commenter suggested, which is countersue, not give in, and resist. I mean, these two companies are at each other's throats.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Joe Mullen, for coming on Tech News today and explaining this story. Your article was the best of the lot on covering this story, and I appreciate that, and also for you coming on Tech News today.
Thanks a lot.
All right, you can find Joe Mullen at ArsTechnica.com and on Twitter at Joe Mullen. Well, in just a sec, we're going to tell you about what the federal government wants to do with the apps on your smartphone. But first, I'm going to tell you about Squarespace. Squarespace is the number one place by far to build a website on the internet because they have all of the three major areas covered for building a website. The first is design, and they have 25 beautiful templates for you to start with, so you can just go in there and build your site based on these templates. And once you've selected a template, you can go and customize, add pages, add content, and proceed from there. If you want to switch to another design, you can easily do that. If you do need help, they have 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week tech support via chat and email. They also have something really great for small businesses called the Logo Creator Tool. The Logo Creator Tool lets you go in there, even as a non-designer, especially if you're a non-designer, and build a logo that looks really professional and it's exactly what you're looking for. They start with all these different shapes. You can combine them, change the color, change the textures, do everything that a designer would do but in a format that's really, really easy to use. And so that's fantastic. You can check that out at blog.squarespace.com. There's a video in there showing the logo creator tool. E-commerce is supported at all subscription plan levels now. So if you want to sell something, or if you want to raise money for your nonprofit or your school register, whatever it is, any sort of money that you want to take in via a website, Squarespace is the place to do it. And it sounds really expensive, but it isn't. Squarespace starts at just $8 a month. And of course, that includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Now, increasingly, with each passing year, more and more people use the internet with their mobile devices, their tablets and smartphones, and Squarespace is incredibly mobile ready. It's mobile ready from the user's perspective, the people visiting your website, because every site is displayed in native mobile format automatically and on the fly. You don't have to do anything. It just happens on Squarespace. And it's mobile ready from your perspective. Their Squarespace Metric app lets you manage and maintain your site via a mobile device, which is really important because you want to be timely with those things. You don't want to queue it up and wait until you're back sitting in front of a desk, in front of a desktop computer. You want to be able to make changes and modify your site or your blog via a mobile device while you're running around town or doing whatever it is you're doing. And of course, hosting is one of the big things that Squarespace is best at as well. Squarespace sites don't go down. They throw all the processing power necessary at your site. If you suddenly have a runaway hit and get hammered with traffic, Squarespace hammers back and your site will not go down. So start a free 2-week trial with no credit card required and start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TNT and that'll get you 10% off. And it'll also show your support for Tech News Today, which we appreciate. We also thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. And remember that a better web awaits and it starts with your new Squarespace website. The U.S. Department of Transportation wants the power to regulate all navigation products, including maps and apps on your smartphone. It's part of the proposed Grow America Act. And, of course, the Grow America Act is loaded with all kinds of new laws and regulations and stuff like this. So this is sort of tucked in there. And this act would give the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration the authority to choose whether or not apps need to be taken off the market, whether they have to be modified in some way. And they claim that their concern is safety, that apps that can, you know, give you directions to drive into the San Francisco Bay are inherently unsafe, and therefore they want to be able to regulate them because you are not intelligent enough to know that if there's no road there, you probably shouldn't be driving on it. Grow America, interestingly enough, all of the whole words Grow America is a gigantic acronym that stands for Generating Renewal, Opportunity, and Work with Accelerated Mobility, Efficiency, and Rebuilding of Infrastructure and Communities Throughout America. That's right. The A at the end of Grow America stands for America. Incredible. People are being paid to come up with acronyms like that. The Intelligent Car Coalition told the Times that the government doesn't have the budget or the structure to oversee both Silicon Valley and the auto industry. And that, I think, is a very, very good point. Well, Starbucks announced a new perk for employees, a subsidized online university education. Starbucks and Arizona State University are partnering to provide a big percentage of the tuition. The normal cost is about $10,000 a year, and about $3,250 of that would be paid for under this new plan. That's, again, for the first 2 years. Financial aid would pay for most of the rest. 135,000 U.S. employees who work at least 20 hours a week and who work at Starbucks-owned stores would qualify for this plan. It's called the Starbucks College Achievement Plan. The old Starbucks University perk was $1,000 a year for education at certain schools. So this is a huge ramping up of the amount that Starbucks pays to subsidize the education of their employees. Unfortunately, Starbucks employees are paid badly enough to qualify for Pell Grants and other types of financial aid. So the combination of the Starbucks gift and the grants and financial aid would pay for just about all of it for people in their first 2 years and would pay for, on average, all of it for people in their last 2 years. So, for example, employees who start as juniors or seniors would earn full tuition reimbursement. The program is interesting to me because it provides a huge boost to the concept of online university education in general and to Arizona State University's online program in particular. Online university is a very controversial practice. Arizona State has been way at the forefront of this thing. And so this really, I think, provides a massive boost to that. And I think that it's going to be taking off over the next 10 years with more and more people in the United States and around the world getting their university education online. Well, Domino's Pizza was hacked last week in a ransom attack. The hackers revealed their demand of €30,000 in a tweet as well as on a web post. Domino's is refusing to pay. The attackers threatened to release the personal information of more than 600,000 customers in France and Belgium. The hacker group is called Rex Mundi, which means King of the World. Presumably that's they're big fans of the movie Titanic. Hackers said the following on their post, quote, "We downloaded over 592,000 customer records, including passwords, from French customers and over 58,000 records from Belgian ones. That's over 600,000 records, which include the customers' full names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, passwords, and delivery instructions." Oh, my goodness. Your delivery instructions may be out in the wild and available to the highest bidder. Very strange story. In related Domino's news, Domino's announced a new feature in its iOS and Android apps that lets you order by voice. The technology in the new app is provided by Nuance's Nina Mobile. Well, our friend J.R. Holmes sent us an email, and he was commenting on our conversation Friday about the possible use of a new lightning connector by Apple that could be used in an iWatch for both recharging and for audio. If you missed that episode, I recommend that you go back and listen to it. Mark Gurman told us about all the incredible things that are in the new version of the iOS, iOS 8, that would be directly applicable to an iWatch or whatever it is that Apple's rumored smartwatch would be. So J.R. Holmes said the following in an email to us. Quote, "Forgotten by all people commenting on the rumor about the possibility of Apple using the Lightning connector to transmit audio information is that this is just restoring a capability that was previously available in the 30-pin connector. All those 30-pin speaker docks that use the ability to play music from the connected iPhone very easily, that Lightning connector didn't allow, and that the rise of Android devices is what has driven the rise of many Bluetooth speakers we see today, albeit reduced audio quality. While I like the rise of the Bluetooth connected devices, it was also very convenient to simply drop the phone or iPod into the dock and have it play very easily without charging." So this is a really interesting point, and of course, it's easy to forget that the new improved Apple connector had a reduced capability there, and it caused a change in the market. So very interesting email. Thank you so much, J.R. Holmes. Well, in a follow-up, Level 3 Communications said today that it plans to buy TW Telecom, which is a major ISP for businesses. The price of the deal is about $5.68 billion, and the deal is expected to close by the end of the year. In other news, astronauts on the International Space Station are getting an espresso machine. That's right. The coffee maker is custom-built for space by engineering firm Argotech and coffee seller Lavazza. It dispenses caffeinated brew into a sealed plastic bag so the coffee doesn't go floating away in the weightless environment of Earth orbit. It also makes other hot beverages like soup and things like that, but it's mostly geared toward making espresso. The new machine will arrive along with astronaut Samantha Cristoforetti, who is the first Italian woman in space ever. By the way, the ISS's new espresso machine is called what else? The IS Espresso. Yeah, another great name. Well, that's the tech news today. There are lots of ways to subscribe to tech news today, and you definitely should subscribe. You can go to twit.tv/TNT. You can go to YouTube at youtube.com/technewstoday and follow us on Twitter at technewstodayTV. And we want to hear from you. Comment on Google Plus or Twitter using the hashtag technewstoday, and we're going to find that tweet or that post. Send us an email at tnt@twit.tv or leave us voicemail by calling 260-TNT-SHOW. And also, don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.